Hey, Christine, how's it going?
Hey, Lauren, I'm okay.
Are you upset?
I am upset. It's over for now.
It's over.
I got really sad after that episode because I'm like, oh no, we have to wait so long.
2 years. Ugh.
That's too long.
This, by the way, listeners, is Pod of the Dragon, and we are a podcast about House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones, all things Westeros. So we're here today talking about the season finale of season one.
Welcome.
Yeah, so we're very sad that it's over, but I liked the episode.
Oh yeah, I loved it. I just want more, like soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't really have any like updates or anything this week. Do you have anything you want to talk about?
No, not really. Just that this episode got leaked somehow, and I don't understand how this keeps happening with HBO. Like, the first time I remember it happening was, like, season 5 of Game of Thrones. How does this keep happening? How are they not fixing this problem?
Yeah, lock your shit up, HBO.
So, like, I got anxious because there started being spoilers online on, like, Friday. So I had to real quick watch it so I didn't get spoiled.
I just watched it. But
did you get spoiled?
I was pretty busy this weekend, so I wasn't online very much, honestly. So I think that helped. By the way, I just want to call out real quick. I do have like some kind of a sinus infection or anything, so I apologize if I sound shitty today, because I am.
Oh.
But it is what it is. So we're here. We're going to do this.
We're here. We're podcasting. So we can get into the episode. First, we want to do a spoiler alert. So this podcast is dark and full of spoilers. We're going to talk about everything that happens on House of the Dragon, the whole season. We'll talk about Game of Thrones, maybe if it comes up. All 8 seasons of that. And we read the books. We read Fire and Blood. We don't really remember the book much. But we will reference it.
Yeah, we reference like some of like the main arcs occasionally. But I mean,
yeah,
just like we want to put that in here because we might say something. But really, like, I don't feel like we crazy spoil anything. A lot of it they're changing too, or just like interpreting the book because a lot is left open to interpretation. So, you know, now you know. I hope you stick around. And also, quick content warning. We are going to discuss everything that happens in this episode and the show in general. You really need the content warning for watching the show more than anything, but we are going to discuss what happened on the show, and that includes murder in this episode, as well as some childbirth, stillbirth trauma. And I mean, I generally feel like with this show, you need to give a content warning for incest. There's no like incestual sex in this episode or anything, but there are, you know.
No, the main characters are
marriages of, yeah.
Two siblings, or not siblings.
Yes. Niece
and uncle. I just remembered we need a content warning domestic violence for this episode too.
Yes, actually.
So be forewarned, but we hope you stick around.
Should we dive into this?
Let's get into it.
Okay. So we start off on Dragonstone. Luke is having a Jon Snow moment of, I don't want it. I think this is a really sweet scene between him and his mom, Rhaenyra, where she's like, it's okay, I'm going to help you learn how to do everything. Like, I'm going to be there with you. And so, like, that, of course, sets the scene for why they are assuming everything is about Driftmark when Rhaenys shows up.
Yeah, I also saw this scene. I was like, ah, fuck, he's gonna die this episode, isn't he? Because it just, like, focused on this character that, like, we don't necessarily really care about for, like, a good period of time. And it was, like, a nice scene of him having a moment with his mom.
It was too sweet.
Like, it was too sweet. And I know this show. I'm just like, yeah, he's about to die.
We can't have nice things here.
We can't. No one's allowed to be happy in Westeros. I still stan Rhaenyra in this. I was trying to write in my notes that Emma Darcy is super hot, and it auto-corrected to Emma DeSexy. I don't know why, But it worked, so I left it. But yeah, they look great in this scene.
Absolutely, yeah. Honestly, in this whole episode.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And the acting is on point, I think, for Rhaenyra. Like, I don't know. I loved Emma Darcy playing this character the whole time, but I feel like this episode is where Rhaenyra really comes into her own. Just, like, a lot is said just by, like, facial expressions and gestures and things that are just, like, incredibly telling. And I just thought it was really good acting.
Yeah, definitely. So Rhaenys shows up, delivers the news that her dad is dead, very bluntly.
Rhaenys' outfit is on point here also, I just want to point out. She's got dragon scale armor, it's red and black. Bad bitch.
Bad bitch for sure. But yeah, she also says, you know, they crowned Aegon king. So now it's time for Rhaenyra to step it the fuck up. But she's very cool, calm, and collected about the thing, except she real quick has to have a baby.
Yeah, real quick miscarriage.
Yeah, so she has a stillbirth. It seems like she's probably like early third trimester, if I had to guess. Did you think the baby looked dragon?
I was looking to try to see. It didn't seem that way, though.
They kept showing the back of the head, which looked like it had like a ridge on it almost. So I don't know if that was a callback to Game of Thrones when Daenerys had like a half dragon, half human baby.
There were people in the books who had like half dragon, half human babies too. So
yeah, because obviously it's just canon that the Targaryens are out there fucking dragons. They have dragon genes.
Incest, you know.
And I'm not even saying that she did. It's probably Daemon's kid, but like they have dragon genes in their biology.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I took it more just like she was so upset. Like, one, she lost her dad. Her brother stole her throne. Her ex-girlfriend, her ex-best friend was complicit in her brother stealing her throne. And just, it's a lot. You know, they're probably going to have to go to war. Her children are in danger. Her husband's in danger. She's in danger. Like, it's just like a lot of stress for a pregnant person to take on. And it seemed like it was just like,
it was too much.
Too much for her. And she went into labor too early before the baby. I couldn't tell, but it seemed like the baby was born dead.
Yeah.
So it seemed like it was a stillbirth. It wasn't like the baby died because it was too young and they didn't have NICUs.
Yeah, no, it seemed like it was already lifeless.
So maybe it was also a dragon.
Yeah, which tracks.
I do like, before that scene, that Rhaenys' whole vibe here is like, not my circus, not my monkeys. Like in the last episode we were talking about, like, why didn't she Dracarys them? Blah, blah, blah. Like, when she basically is just like, this isn't my war to start. I just came to warn you and I'm just going to wait for my husband because this isn't my fucking problem. Take care of your own kids.
Yeah, except then like behind closed doors, she's totally going to like tell Corlys what she thinks he should do.
Yeah, yeah. But she wasn't going to be the one to start the war, but she'll support her.
No, yeah. Okay, so I still need to talk a little bit more about the childbirth scene because as like traumatic and everything as it was, and sad, Rhaenyra was also being a baddie because she literally delivered her own child out of herself. And she was just like, fucking no one touch me, no one help me.
They're like, princess, you can't do this alone. She's like, yes, I can. Yeah. I'm gonna.
Yep. Which I thought was interesting for a couple of reasons. Well, mainly because it seemed like a sort of, maybe this is like a stretch, but it seemed like a sort of callback to the like one of the early episodes where Viserys like told her she couldn't go deal with Daemon herself, and she basically was like, yes I can, and went and did it herself, and because fucking Otto wasn't gonna handle it. And then also in this episode we have that scene where like Jace and Luke are gonna go fly off to go be diplomats and de-escalate things, and I feel like there is a tie-in with that because she wasn't going to be like her dad in that instance and say like, yes, no, you can't do it. She was like, yes, you can. You, like, we are in this together.
That's true. That is such a parallel.
Yeah. But I felt like it was like part of this childbirth scene as well.
Yeah. And I thought it was a callback too to like the first episode where her mom says that a woman's battlefield is the child bed. And Rhaenyra doesn't want that. She's like, no, I want a battlefield to be my battlefield. And it goes for like Daemon's off planning the war. And she's
like, hold on.
Having a baby. And she's just like, fucking wait for me.
Like, she's still like answering emails while she's giving birth.
Yes, yes. But it's very much this juxtaposition again of like, he's planning the war, she's having the baby. Like, the men's battlefield's the battlefield, the women's battlefield's the childbed, but she's not having it. She's like, you do not start this fucking war until I'm done having this baby.
Yeah, and there's very much, like, I think, again, really great cinematography here where they made you feel like she was just trying to get it over as quickly as possible so she could, like, move on to war.
Yeah. Do you think she knew that the baby wasn't going to survive this?
I mean, I think she knew it was early, obviously.
Yeah. And, like, she was bleeding immediately, so it seems like she knew, like, oh, I'm miscarrying.
I feel like there was definitely, like, she knew it wasn't right, you know? So I don't know if she necessarily knew that it was dead, but given, like, the medicine that they have and all that, like, you know, it's not a good chance when you start having all these complications. So I think there was at least some part of her mind that knew it was a possibility, if not, like, fully knowing.
I think so, too. I also liked when her kids came in and she was explaining them what happened and they're like, where's Damon? And she's like, I don't know, gaunt madness, off to plan his war. Like, I don't have fucking time for Damon. Tell him to wait for me. Damon's a little fuck in this episode.
Yeah, he is. Curious to see where that continues to go, or like how their relationship progresses from here, but we have to wait 2 years to find out, so.
Ugh. I remember thinking in this episode that, like, Corlys and Damon, there were parallels here, too, of, like, Damon really wants to put his wife on the throne and is saying, like, oh, they stole your throne, it's about you, it's about honor, it's about your duty, when really it's about, like, he wants the power.
Yeah.
And he has from the beginning. That was his whole deal. That's part of why, I mean, they also love each other in their own fucked up way. That's a lot of why he wanted to marry Rhaenyra, is to get his claim back from her. But yeah, it just reminds me of Corlys too, that like it's all under this fake guise of, you know, I'm doing this for you, I'm doing this for our family. And the women are like, no, you're not. If you were, you'd listen to me about what's best for our family and what's going to keep us safe. But you just want a war because you want adventure and you want to be on the Iron Throne.
I'm curious to see how that plays out long term, because even in this episode, he is like reinforcing the line of succession after Rhaenyra. Like, it's not like he's just going to be tight-lipped and then later say, like, maybe it should be me instead of your son, like, next.
Yeah, so, no, that's true.
I don't know. I'm not, like, 100% sold that he's totally the way he was 20 years ago. I don't know.
But I just think, like, if she's on the throne and he's by her side, like, they're ruling together, so he's kind of getting what he wanted.
Yeah, he's still going to have the power, but not necessarily ever the crown. And I don't know that he's still as ambitious for that at this point.
Because even now, he's kind of doing things for her without really her approval or consent. He's just kind of like running shit. And I feel like in most cases with a woman in this era and in this like era of Westeros, like that would be normal and fine. But Rhaenyra is like not that kind of a wife. And she's like,
no,
do not fucking play with me.
Yeah. We've got the scene where they are having the baby funeral. And at first it was like, they had the seven sisters or the silent sisters or whatever. And I was like, are they going to do like a not Targaryen? But then they did. They burned the body. And obviously, like, clear parallels to the first episode where they're burning Rhaenyra's stillborn brother. I think that was good tie-in from like the very beginning of the season to the very end of the season with these like very traumatic childbirth death scenes. And this one was different, though, because it also is, like, I mean, of course, Rhaenyra's okay is a main thing. And then it's also, like, her moment to ascend to the throne. Not to the throne, but to the crown, I guess.
Because Aeryk, is it Aeryk with an A?
Aeryk with an A. I'm just going to call him Aeryk with an A.
Aeryk with an A shows up and brings her father's crown. So Aegon's wearing Aegon the Conqueror's crown, but Rhaenyra gets Viserys' crown. So she lost a baby, but she gained a crown. And then everybody kneels for her, except for Rhaenys. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I was going to ask if you saw that. Okay. So my kind of read on that moment was actually just like, and I don't know, that maybe this, I could totally just see this being my own shit. But I thought it was just Rhaenys, like, watching everyone else in the room to make sure everyone else was, like, doing what they're supposed to do.
Mm.
And I very much throughout this episode had the sense of like Rhaenys almost living vicariously through Rhaenyra, because she's like, holy shit, it's actually happening. Like, a woman is actually going to try to rule. And she's like not wishing it was her at all, because she like, she didn't totally want that because of all the drama and like bloodshed it would have come with for her to have tried. But she's like pretty stoked, I think, to see that it's actually happening. And you can kind of just see her, like, silently, like, I'm a cheerleader in the background the whole time, just with, like, her little smile. She looks very excited for Rhaenyra. My read on it wasn't that it was, like, her having any moment of dissent or anything. It just seemed like she was just checking on, making sure everyone else was doing it right. But I don't know. That might just be me.
Yeah, I read it a little differently. Like, I think, like, the point of it might have been just that she was waiting for Corlys to make, for them to make the decision together, whether they were going to support Rhaenyra. But what it seemed more to me in this scene, I guess the way I took it was that like Rhaenys doesn't kneel for anyone. Like she's there as an equal. So she's very much watching. She's smiling. She's just like, you got it, baby girl. I'm proud of you. But like, she's not going to kneel. Like she's here as an ally. She's here as a support. She's not trying to be subservient to Rhaenyra, even if she supports her claim to the throne. Like she's recognizing, like, you need me to put you there. I'm the whole reason, you know?
Yeah. And I think the waiting for Corlys makes sense as well, because she basically said she was going to wait for him to declare anything. So did you know that the map table lit up?
No, I thought it was so cool. I'm like, oh, in this era it does. And apparently it's broken or nobody knows how to use it by the time we get to Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so that was pretty sweet.
That was cool. It's a lot easier to see. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so they obviously just, forgot how to do that looter. And also, like, forgot about the Song of Ice and Fire and a bunch of other shit, so.
And I put, when she goes to the table to work, I was like, oh, it's so good that she lets her little nieces slash stepdaughters slash cousins, the show is wild, but she lets them stand at the table with her, not just be like the cupbearers who have to step back. Like, it's very like, fuck the patriarchy. I don't know. Like, all the shit with like Rhaenys, Rhaenyra, Rhaena, and Baela, it seems like is very... And even with, like, Rhaenyra's sons, like, it just seems very, like, family-oriented and, like, they're not, like, so focused on rank. And it feels different than the small council when her dad was king that, like, felt very political. And this feels very family-focused. Like, they're all in it together.
It doesn't matter, like, age or gender. You're part of the family, so you're included.
Yeah, exactly. And that seemed nice.
Yeah, I like that. Then I have, like, classic note from this show, which is fuck Otto Hightower.
Fuck Otto Hightower. Why does Otto Hightower keep showing up at Dragonstone to threaten people that he knows have dragons? This is the second time he's done this. What is your plan? You're going to show up here and be like, bend the knee. Why? Dragons. Like, you should have, like, if they were going to send anyone to Dragonstone, it should have been fucking one of the kids who has a dragon. Why is Otto Hightower there with, like, a couple Kingsguard, as if that's going to do anything?
Right. I do love, like, the little walkway up to Dragonstone, how, like, helpless anyone it is who comes up
yes.
it. And, of course, they, like, completely trap him on it with a dragon on this one. So, love that.
And those dragons are so, like pumped and ready to commit war crimes. Like, there's a part where, like, Daemon's like, bring me Otto Hightower's head. And if you turn around to Syrax, she's, like, up on two legs, like, waving her arms and wings in the air, going, wow! Like, time to kill some people!
Yeah.
Like, nobody gave her a command. That's just, like, the dragon reacting on her own to violence and being like, fuck yeah!
Did somebody say war crimes?
I'm here for the murders!
Yep. So, more of that to come. But, basically, this is, like, the beginning of, like, during the childbirth portion, Daemon's kind of, like, doing shit without Rhaenyra, but this is the beginning of, like, where he really pissed me off, because he's just, like, he keeps responding to Otto, and I'm like, shut up, dude, you're not in charge.
He's being a little fuck. But I do like what he says to him about, like, I'd rather feed my children to the dragons than have them serve your, like, cunt usurper of a king.
Pretty great. And then Rhaenyra takes his hand of the kingpin away. And basically, she might as well just say, fuck you, Otto Hightower.
That was a big fuck you, Otto Hightower. Good for her. And then he hands her a love note from her ex-girlfriend that is the page from the beginning episode, like the first episode where she's trying to study. And then Rhaenyra rips out the page and gives it to Alicent and says, like, now you won't forget. So Alicent, I guess, had Otto Hightower, like, had her dad bring it to Rhaenyra, I guess, to remind them that they used to be friends and have fun together. So that's why it should be totally cool that we stole your throne and betrayed you. Because yeah, remember, fucking weird. When we were kids, you ripped this page out of a book.
Yeah, no, that, I was like, why?
I was like, Damon here goes, the fuck is this? When she opens it. As much as Damon's a fuck here, his commentary's hilarious.
Yes, yes, that's true. Which, you know, classic Damon, exactly what we want from him.
And he's ready to commit murder. And Rhaenyra's like, no, let's go back inside. Let's talk about this for 24 hours.
Ugh, but like, can someone please kill Otto Hightower soon?
Yeah, just kill Otto Hightower.
I'm so sick of him.
I don't know when he dies. I'm sick of him.
Yeah. But yeah, they basically were like, we'll give you a decision tomorrow, like, BRB.
They go back inside, and she's, like, actually considering, like, just taking the truce because she doesn't want to see the country or the kingdom divided because of the Song of Ice and Fire bullshit.
Yeah, which is stupid, and Damon's also never heard of it.
Yeah, David's never heard of it. And Rhaenyra's like, you don't know things. And then the worst scene ever happens.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with this bullshit.
Yeah, there's a domestic violence altercation that takes place. This made me very unhappy. Damon basically chokes Rhaenyra. Not in a hot way.
Not in a hot way. Why do you think this, like, was included? Like, why does this need to exist?
I don't know.
Like, are they just trying to make us turn on Damon and see how bad he is?
Maybe. I didn't understand the purpose of this being here. Like, I know that they're showing that they are having issues in their marriage and that they, like, want to handle this situation differently, but I didn't feel like it needed to include this.
Like, I wouldn't picture him being violent towards her. I'd more picture him, like, going behind her back and doing things that he thinks will benefit her and, like, not respecting her wishes, which was most of what this episode was. So, like, getting violent with her didn't really make sense to me.
I don't know. I mean, we've seen him be, like, very violent on a whim in the past. We've not seen him do that with someone that he's in a relationship with until now, I don't think.
Except for when he killed his first wife.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
With a rock. Like, he's a bad guy. I'm not saying he's not. Yeah. But it, like, very much was like this, he's a dick to everyone but her situation. And now he's a dick to her also because he's just a bad guy. But, yeah, and that's when he says, ugh, our slogan for our podcast that was in the trailer turns out is in this awful choking scene.
Yes,
where he says dreams didn't make us kings, dragons did.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, okay, I wish that the fucking violence hadn't been there, but
it's a great line.
What he's saying makes sense, too.
Yeah, this is like a very fucked up version of the scene in Game of Thrones where Olenna Tyrell says to Daenerys, you're a dragon, be a dragon. It's kind of the same thing where he's just like, I don't care about prophecies and dreams. And like, he's kind of right. He's like, your dad was a conspiracy theorist. This shit's weird. You're the queen and these people took your throne. We should go to war with them. And I get what he's saying. And I also get that she's like, maybe that would kill everyone and we should like not do that lightly. Because they basically have the equivalent of nuclear weapons. And, like, a lot of them.
I think, does she say this now or is it later when she says she doesn't want to, like, inherit a kingdom of bone and ash?
Yes!
Which, great line.
Great line. It reminds me of Dany not wanting to be the queen of the ashes. But I did note here, like, I feel like I am way more open to believing that Rhaenyra would turn on a dime and go nuts and burn a bunch of people than Daenerys. Like, I just think she was set up more that way, that she, like, can be a loose cannon, that she's more impulsive, that she's, like, I don't know. There's, like, a certain fire to her. And then even the fact that she's, like, allied herself with Daemon, knowing how much Daemon's a bad guy. Whereas Daenerys wasn't that. They could have made her that, but they never did. So I feel like in, you know, 9 episodes, I'm like more willing to believe that Rhaenyra's gonna go off the rails than I was with Daenerys after like 8 seasons.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I'm curious if that's kind of what they're going for with the very end of this episode. So, again, we'll see in 2 years. But
yeah, because it's almost, she's set up more as an anti-hero in a way. Like, pretty much everyone on the show is, like, not a good person, honestly. Like, they're all out here committing war crimes. Like, they're all, like, doing incest and, like, killing kids. Like, they're not good people, the people on this show. But they also are not... Like, they're all gray. They all have good qualities. They all have reasons that they make us love them. So I feel like...
Maybe not Aemond.
Yeah, fuck Aemond. Maybe not Otto Hightower.
Not Otto Hightower.
Allison is... I don't know. I fucking hate her too, but she's like a sympathetic character.
Yeah.
And Rhaenyra and Daemon are like assholes, but we love them.
Yeah. Okay, can we quick talk about the scene between Corlys and Rhaenys?
Yes, tell me about it.
So I guess I didn't totally realize that he basically like left her right after their kids both died, which I guess makes sense, duh. But I just like didn't, I don't know. It's hard to tell with the time jumps, like when he fucked off.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah, so she basically like is like, you abandoned me. And they have like this very interesting relationship throughout this season because she is a very strong and independent person. At the same time, like, they very much rely on each other in their marriage. So she definitely has been giving off this strong front in the last couple episodes and, like, seems like she's, like, a bad bitch and totally in charge of everything. But in the background, like, she's still like, I fucking would rather have my husband here to, like, help me with this. So I thought that was, like, very touching that she's saying this to him. But also, like, what a dick.
God, the show is so good. There's so many parallels. In the episode right before Leonor fake dies, him and Rhaenyra are having the conversation where, like, everything's falling apart in their family. And he's like, I'm going to go to sea. I need adventure. I think it'd be good for me. I'm going to go back to war. And Rhaenyra's like, you don't get to just, like, leave and go off to war and, like, leave me to pick up the pieces. Like, you have to be here with your family. And he was like, I'm made for the sea. This is what I do. And then you see after he fake dies, that's exactly what his dad does. Like, he takes off, he goes to war, he, you know, has adventures at sea, leaves his wife because that's the only way he knows how to cope with things. And then she's left to pick up the pieces. So I just, like, I loved that parallel. And I love that she called him out on it too, that he was just, you know, made some like flirty joke to her. And she's just like, fuck you, you left me. Like, that wasn't cool.
Yeah. I think, too, though, in this scene, we see him, like, I mean, he says, like, he's done pursuing the Iron Throne, blah, blah, blah. But he's also, like, I think the real part of him that's done is, like, him pursuing the Iron Throne. It's more like, hey, he's willing to, like, let her have more say in, like, what they do together now. So, obviously, that's what happens. She basically is like, well, I think we should do this. And for once, he's finally like, okay, yes. So then we cut to, like, the scene where he walks in to the map table room and basically says that he started a shipping embargo on King's Landing.
Yay! Yeah, so they declare that they're going to stay allies with Rhaenyra, and they're pretty good allies because he has the Narrow Sea, and now they can lay siege.
Oh, by the way, I can't remember exactly when this came up in this episode. I guess it was earlier when Daemon was talking about dragons. At some point when Daemon's talking about dragons, but he mentions that they have sea smoke.
Yes!
And that sea smoke has, yeah, and that sea smoke has no rider, which we had talked about in a previous episode, like, whether or not sea smoke knows that Laenor is dead or fake dead. So I'm still thinking that he knows he's fake dead, but, like, is playing along with the whole situation.
With anyone else, yeah. Yeah, there's a ton of dragons, apparently. So they have sea smoke, Vermithor, we meet later. There's apparently wild dragons on Dragonstone. Did you know there were wild dragons?
I feel like that was hinted at a couple of times. I wasn't totally clear on it until now, but yeah.
What do they mean by, like, wild dragons? Because they say there's unclaimed dragons, and they say there's wild dragons.
There's some dragons that, like, the dragon masters, like, feed and take care of and stuff. But then there's also dragons that are just like, I'm gonna live here, sort of, but like
how'd they get there? Because they, like, brought them over from old Valyria. So they just, like, leave the dragons just, like, plopped eggs in the middle of nowhere and, like, the eggs hatched on their own.
I guess. That could be. Because Daemon had to go, like, crawling around to get those eggs that one time. So it could be that, like, sometimes they don't know where they are.
That would make sense. But yeah, there's wild dragons.
So then this is the point where she sends Luke and Jace off to send messages.
Yeah, so she's basically decides, like, I'm not going to start the war, but I will sure as hell finish it. So she wants to see if she can just get all these people who swore fealty to her to, like, uphold their oath before she makes any big moves. So instead of the ravens, they want to go on dragon back. And she's like, that's a great idea, but no fighting.
Yeah, it's like, you're just messengers. Jace is definitely, like, up to this. It was his idea. Already, obviously, feel bad for Luke because he seems very scared. He's, you know, just, like, told her that he doesn't even know how to do the whole Driftmark thing, let alone, like, go off to people whose alliance allegiances are unknown and, like, try to suss that out. So, yeah, it, like, totally scary situation for, I don't know how old he is, but too young.
Yeah, and he has, like, no experience with diplomacy, basically. Like, yeah, he hasn't communicated with any lords or ladies or anything. And his dragon is baby. Like,
his dragon is so really small.
Really small.
I was thinking about that because when he rides off on his dragon, I was like, it's so much smaller than Drogon was when Dany finally got onto Drogon.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And part of me had always assumed, like, he needed to be that big, but I guess not.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah. Like, these dragons, like, grew up with the kids. I think, like, these were the ones that were, like, Jace and Luke's dragons were the ones that the eggs were in their cribs. And they hatched and, like, grew up together. So dragon is little baby, too.
Yeah, definitely.
We skipped the part where I start to like Daemon again because he goes into the cave and sings this dragon soothing song.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even write any notes about that, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I loved that scene.
I did too. I was just like watching it, so I didn't write any notes.
Yeah. He comes in. What is the song that he's singing? Why does it soothe dragons?
I don't know. They apparently speak Valyrian, so whatever the lyrics are, the dragons are like, that's cute.
Heard there was a secret song. And played in it, calmed the dragons. Yeah, that's Vermithor. Do we know who he is? He's Jaehaerys's dragon, right?
Right. Yeah, I wasn't totally clear. So he is then Rhaenyra's grandfather's dragon.
Yes,
is that right? Okay.
Yeah. And he is the second biggest and oldest dragon in the world after Vhagar.
Okay, so I don't remember this from the books. Does Daemon, like, have two dragons now? Or, like, what?
I think so. Or he... What happens to Caraxes? I kind of like...
I don't know.
Because Caraxes is alive.
Yeah. I feel like dragons are not chill with that, but...
Are dragons polyamorous?
I mean, I feel like just because of, like, the whole, like, is there, like, a magical bond situation between the dragon and the rider... That was why I was like, can they
Is it like Rick and Morty? Slut dragon! Slut! I was thinking of that Rick and Morty episode in this too because Vermithor wakes up and seems really pissed. And he's just kind of like, how dare you wake me? I wish to sleep upon my hoard until the age of man expires.
I don't think I saw that episode.
It was very wild. It's a weird episode.
Oh, I mean, that's Rick and Morty for you.
Yeah, I like dragons, though, so clearly. And it's people fucking dragons, so it's very on brand.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That makes sense. Targaryen land. So Luke goes to Storm's End, shall we?
He has a Storm's End. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, fuck. As soon as he lands and sees Vhagar there, it's like, shit.
Oh, fuck. And you can see how big she is compared to his baby.
Yeah. But he doesn't, like, really have the option to not go in at that point. And he's just a messenger, so he should, in theory, be safe with, like, all of the laws of Westeros. So, yeah, Aegon is just, like, standing in there. Like, he seems to have just made the same speech. Like, or, sorry, Aemond is standing in the room, and he seems to have, like, just made the same speech, like, recently, because he's just now, like, standing next to the girl he's gonna marry. As soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, this is gonna end badly.
This isn't good. Yeah. And Lord Boros says, is it That's funny. I just got a message from the king. Is it a king or a queen? The House of the Dragon doesn't seem to know who rules it. And for some reason, like, it's weird to me that, like, the lords of Westeros don't know how terrifying that is. The ruling people with the dragons having a civil war is bad for everybody.
Yeah, why are you making a joke about this?
It's not gonna end well for any of you. You're gonna be collateral damage in this. Which is, like, very much what happens. But, like, he does not seem concerned about that. He's just, like, taunting him.
Well, so my read on that was that it was a stupid callback to Game of Thrones, call forward to Game of Thrones, because the Baratheons are the one that eventually take over.
That's true.
So maybe it's like a supposed to be a start of that. I don't know.
Yeah, the Baratheons being like, fuck the Targs. Yeah, I do see, like, in the Greens' defense, I do see how, like, the Blacks is, like, Rhaenyra's policy is basically to threaten people, to be like, remember, you bent the knee to me. If you don't listen, fire and blood. Whereas the Greens are actually, like, trying to make alliances and marriage pacts and, like, try to get people on their side to benefit them.
They also just murdered anyone who didn't bend the knee in the last episode.
No, they did. Yeah. And so did Daemon. So, like, they're both on the same page there, but, like, with trying to get these, like, neutral people, I feel like they're like, ooh, let's, like, you know, make a marriage pact, whereas Rhaenyra's just kind of like, fuck you, you need to obey your oath.
She shouldn't need to offer them anything if they, like, actually care about their oaths.
No, I mean, it's true, but, like, who cares about their oaths?
Well, probably the Starks, I don't know.
Yeah, like, they said that at one point, they're like, the Starks are going to follow their oaths, Baratheons, let's see. Yeah, so he's basically like, nah, I'm gonna go with the better offer, which, like, should have been fine. I mean, that's disappointing, but Luke should have been able to go. But then, of course, Aemon decides to do some fucky shit.
Yeah, so what do you think is up with his eye?
I think I looked this up in the books. He uses a sapphire for an eye, but that didn't look like a sapphire.
That was not a sapphire. Like, that was like a galaxy.
It looked like a tesseract.
It looks like somebody made space, like, galaxy slime and put it in his eye socket and then, like, backlit it.
Yeah, it was backlit. That was, I think, the weirdest thing. Like, everything else was dark and then his eye was, like, glowing.
Yeah, why is it glowing? Even if it's a sapphire, why is it glowing?
Why is it glowing? Because he fucked a dragon. I don't know. That's my answer to everything. So, yeah, they're both here on this diplomatic mission, you know, being all proper. And then Aemon's like, hang on, before you go, let me cut out your eyeball.
Yeah.
And Boros is like, not in my house. Get the fuck out of here with this weird shit. So Luke runs out to Arax. Arax gives him this look like, thank God you're here. I'm fucking freezing. Let's leave.
Yeah, Arax is like a dog that's scared of thunder.
Yes. Is it always storming in Storm's End?
I mean, I think that's like a thing. Like, it literally is stormy there.
It's stormy there. And then my other question is it safe to fly a dragon in the lightning? Can the dragons get struck by lightning? Will it kill them? Is it count as fire?
I feel like it's not safe, but I don't know.
I mean, it's at least not safe because, like, you can't see where you're going.
Yeah, and, like, this dragon seems scared, so.
Yeah, the dragon is like a dog afraid of the fire. The scene is chilling where he's flying through the air and then Vhagar comes up behind him and is, like,
yeah,
10 times the size.
It's just, like, colossal. And, all right, so they were talking in, like, the after the episode thing that they said that Aemond was just trying to, like, do a scare tactic and wasn't actually going to kill him, but I definitely didn't get that vibe.
I thought he was trying to cut out his eye. I don't necessarily think he wanted to kill him, but he was trying to injure,
like,
him.
Like, once they get on the dragons, how does he think that's going to end?
I don't know. He was just, I do think he was just being a bully. I don't think he wanted to kill him. I do think he wanted to injure him. Because I think he knew that if he, like, killed him, it was too far.
Well, he did. So they both said to their dragons at one point, serve me. So, like, I guess both their dragons were just, like, doing their own thing at that point. And they were like, fuck these riders.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe think of, like, when horses get spooked, like, as much as, like, your horse might be, like, well-tamed, if, like, something happens that scares them, they're going to buck you off or they're going to take off running. And that's, like, what, at least what happened with Arax seems like. Like, he was terrified and he just, like, breathed fire, like, to defend himself. Vhagar seemed angry. That did not seem fear. That seemed like crotchety old grandma dragon was like, that little shit's going to blow fire at me. I'll just fucking bite him out of the sky. Fuck off.
Yeah. I saw a meme of Vagar as like the picture in the burn book from Mean Girls. Like,
yes,
she's a fugly slut. Do not trust her.
Do not trust her.
So yeah, she chomps Luke and his dragon into several parts.
Too easy, just big chomp, and then makes this victorious sound like, "Wah! That tasted horrible."
Yeah, and then she's like, I mean, I don't know. She seems like, yeah, I did it. And she's happy now.
She's very proud of herself, and Eamon is terrified. Like, just like, fuck, I took that way too far.
Yeah, but again, like, I just don't see how, like, once he started the dragonback pursuit, how that was going to end any differently unless he just fucked off. Like, because I don't think he was going to, like, he wasn't going to, like, trap him somehow in the sky and then cut his eye out. Like, that wasn't going to happen.
I don't know. He's just, he seems like he just, like, let his power get away from him. Like, he forgot that he was riding a several centuries year old killing machine and was just like, I'm going to bully my cousin because that's what we do. It's like, oh, if it isn't the consequences of your own actions.
Yeah. And then the final scene of this episode is Daemon basically telling that to Rhaenyra. We don't hear any dialogue, but he like pulls her aside and we just like see them both from the back. She like kind of like doubles over with a sob. And then she turned around and my note was, now she is war.
Yeah. I wrote, Rhaenyra is ready to murder now.
Yes. So that's where we end the season.
And now I'm sad for 2 years.
Yeah.
How am I going to get my joy on Sunday nights without this show?
I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Nothing hits quite the same.
Do you want to, let's end our, you know, final episode of the season here with a game of Fuck, Marry, Kill. Do you have one?
How about Rhaenyra, Rhaenys, and Rhaena?
Rhaenyra, Rhaenys, and Rhaena. Which one's Rhaena? She's the
baby. I don't know them apart.
Okay.
I think she's the younger of the... Are they twins? I think they're twins.
I don't know. I'm going to kill her, I guess.
Okay, bye.
I think I'm going to fuck Rhaenyra and marry Rhaenys. Just because, like, Rhaenys seems more like she knows how to be in a healthy relationship. Not that either of them have, like, an ideal relationship, but, like, Rhaenys seems better at that.
Yeah, for sure. I think that was a good choice.
Okay, this is a tough one because there, like, weren't a lot of new characters, and I feel like we've done a lot of these combos before. So I had actually a very similar combo for you. I had Rhaenys, Rhaenyra, and Daemon.
Ooh, that's hard. Because in this episode, I'm going to kill Daemon.
Yeah, for once.
For once. I think I'm also going to go with you. I'm going to fuck Rhaenyra and marry Rhaenys. I have one more for you.
Oh, you do? You have another one?
Yeah, in the style of what we do here.
Oh, boy.
Syrax, Arax, and Vermithor.
Okay. I will, I guess I'll, like Vhagar, kill Arax, and then I'm going to fuck Vermithor and marry Syrax, you know?
Yeah, she's ready for a good time.
Yeah.
Time to kill some Hightowers. Woo, woo, woo!
All right, well, we did a podcast once again.
Look at us go! This was our last episode recap of season one of House of the Dragon. We are going to have one more episode.
Yes. So we'll be back next week with a kind of like final thoughts on the whole season. We also have been keeping a list of bad dads, the worst dads in Westeros from this season, and brutal deaths. So we're going to like go through those and rank those. Not as lengthy of lists as I was expecting, but that will grow over future seasons.
I feel like we should add Arax and Lucerys to the brutal deaths.
Yeah, let's do that. So yeah, we'll be ranking those things next week and kind of giving our final overall thoughts. It'll probably be a shorter episode, but we're still going to kind of debrief after we've had some time with this. For now, though, Christine, do you have anything that you want to plug?
Sure. I did this last couple weeks, but I will again. I'll plug my band. We are Chaos Pixie. So we're on Instagram at Chaos Pixie NYC, or our website is chaospixienyc.com. We are a feminist pop punk band in New York City, and we have our first show on December 13th.
Yay.
Yay. What are you plugging?
You can follow me on Instagram at low_Mazzy, for the podcast, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at @_podofthedragon. You can find us at Facebook, facebook.com/podofthedragon. You can go check out our Etsy store, which has lots of cool stickers, t-shirts, etc., with kind of like our silly jokes from House of the Dragon. And you can find that at etsy.com/shop/podofthedragon. Also, if you prefer to just support us for free, you can share this episode with a friend. You can share a link on your social media. You can also subscribe. That helps us a lot. Leaving us a rating helps a ton. Reviews are really important to us. Those things are all free, and that's a way that you can support our podcast if you enjoy. So I guess we did it. I feel like that went by really fast.
It did. That's how I felt about the episode too, though. Like, I feel like so much happened, but also I'm like, how is that it?
Yeah. It's going to be a long 2 years, but you know, we'll survive. We have some things up our sleeve to chat about in the meantime. So stay tuned. And in the meantime, dreams didn't make us podcasters. Dragons did.
Dracarys.
Bye forever.
Vhagar loves a good war crime.
She's from the days of war crimes.